Every now and then you hear a telling or retelling of a story and it suddenly changes everything. You think you know what's going on and then you learn something new and you realize you didn't have a clue what was going on. It's okay, it just tends to deepen the story, transform it, make it more interesting. One of the first times I remember this happening was in college. I was an economics major and I discovered that The Wizard of Oz is not just a children's story. That is, it was actually written to be a political allegory critiquing the gold standard. I'm sure you all knew that, right? This is a really important part. But it sort of horrified me, to be honest, because I was like, well, then who's the wizard and who's the Tin Man and what's going on? And I don't know anything and what it means at all anymore. It flipped everything upside down. Of course, the funny thing was it did much better as a children's story, and he wrote five more sequels to the children's story and sort of gave up on the political commentary. That part did not go as well. The gospel story we know tonight is one of those we think we know. We think we've got it all figured out. We've heard it a million times. You've seen the story told and retold on TV, on movies, in all sorts of ways. And it's always pretty much the same, right? There's Mary, there's Joseph, there are all the wise men, even the three kings get brought in, which actually they show up later. It's sort of mixing gospels when we do that. But it always tends to be Mary and Joseph with that poor donkey rocking by themselves, right? They're always pretty much on their own. They go from room to room, to house, the doors are slammed in their face, there's no room for them in the inn. And we think we've got it all figured out. Except for that's probably not exactly how the story went. So one thing we have to name first before we go too far down the list is this is a birth narrative. That is, the idea is when you tell a story about someone's birth, it's supposed to give you insight into who they will be, what will happen later in their life. It was very common in the ancient world to have these stories. There were stories about Caesar. And when Caesar was born, he immediately got a bunch of kids together and they formed an army and they like beat up other kids in the street and all that kind of stuff, and they were victorious. And they were like, see, even from his youngest age, he was a general. That was sort of how those stories went. So it's already sort of weird to hear the story of Jesus's birth and to hear that it's just Mary and Joseph, that it's a sort of small and different group. The problem is, again, this isn't exactly how the story goes. The story is actually one of rejoicing and celebration. It's not solitary and alone, well, but just the opposite. Let me explain. There are a handful of things that we just sort of think we know, but we end up reading through 21st century eyes. We have this idea of what an inn is, for instance, right? A Holiday Inn, a hotel, a motel, but no such thing existed in the ancient world. To have a hotel was not really an option. It was just, well, a place where people could stay. It was really to say a guest room. Or to say it even more, well, differently, there's a great book, and I want to be sure to get it right because I know there's some last minute Christmas shopping you all want to do. Jesus Through Middle Eastern Eyes, Cultural Studies in the Gospels. This is one I'm sure you all want to put on your list. Jesus Through Middle Eastern Eyes, Cultural Studies in the Gospel. But what they talk about in that book is that we basically get Jesus's birth all wrong. That is, it was not Jesus just being born with just Mary and Joseph present. In fact, it was completely different. What we have to look at first is the journey. The journey to Bethlehem wasn't probably just the two of them. It was dangerous to be on roads in the ancient world. So they walked in a caravan. More than a caravan, if we really think about it, there's actually the next story in the gospel is when Jesus, if you remember this story, Jesus is, well, with his parents, they go up for the Passover, then they begin to journey home from Jerusalem back to Nazareth, and they walk for 3 days, and Mary and Joseph are having such a good time, they're having such a great party, that they walk for 3 days with all their friends before suddenly they realize they left their son in Jerusalem. So yes, if you're having any anxiety about being a parent, Mary and Joseph lost the Son of God for 3 days They were having such a good time, they totally left him in Jerusalem and had to go back and get him. This was probably more of what it was for Mary and Joseph to walk to Bethlehem as well. It wasn't a solitary walk. The whole world was being taxed. So everyone was on the road to go back to wherever they were from. They were probably in a giant group of people, not just Mary, Joseph, and a donkey, but a huge community gathered together, laughing, talking, sharing stories, walking for several days. It was probably much more akin to the chaos of, say, well, Christmas vacation than it was anything else. Then you get to the moment that we all think we know, and this is where I think if you just know this part of the story, it all changes. We hear there was no room for them in the inn, right? But the idea was not that there was no room for them at the inn, it was there was no room in the guest room, so they had to stay in the stable, right? That's how we read it, that's how we hear it, but that's not actually what the verse says. If you go back and read the verse again, he was born and placed in a stable because there was no room for them in the inn. In the ancient world, in first century Palestine, people were poor. They didn't have multiple rooms. They had one room, and the animals stayed on one side of the room, and you slept on the other side of the room. Said differently, there was no room in the inn, so the family welcomed them into their home. And Mary gave birth surrounded by a family and a community that loved her. It's a different image, isn't it? It's not them alone with the donkeys and the cows. It's much more just utter chaos. Everybody crammed together in a room, welcomed by a family, welcomed in love. And that's what we should probably hear more than anything else. God could choose anywhere to be born, anywhere in all of history. And he chose Mary and Joseph. Yes, a teenager, probably two teenagers. And in Bethlehem, but even more, the birth narrative that we're truly given is an image of God being born into a family that loves them and surrounds them with that love and care. People gathered from every corner. It wasn't the two of them alone. It was probably a whole group of women helping Mary in birth, a whole family gathered together in joy, celebrating this moment, and ultimately celebrating that new life. What does it mean for us? How does that change the story for us? It changes the story because it is God choosing to be present for us, to be present to us. It is the true meaning of Emmanuel, not God among me or by myself or just Mary and Joseph, but among all of us. The gift of this season is that God draws near not to one, not to two, but to all. And it is an even greater gift. If we want to talk about what a birth narrative means, it's to say God is drawn near to us, and that's how we should be walking in our life, is in community, in that caravan of life and hope, that we are connected to others. And so that on nights like this, when we miss those that we love and see no longer, when we celebrate with those who are near and then celebrate even with those who can't quite make the trip, it's easier to do that together. To do that in faith and love and hope. Tonight we celebrate God with us, Emmanuel, and we celebrate it together. It is good to be with you, my friends. It is good to celebrate Christmas. It is good to celebrate together. Amen.